Money FM 89.3, best of workday afternoon. Health Suites with Clarissa Montero on Money FM 89.3.
Good afternoon and welcome to Health Suites on Money FM 89.3. I'm Clarissa Montero. Now, headaches are a common problem and can be associated with many reasons. In a local study, the lifetime prevalence of headaches in Singapore has been reported to be about 82%, with tension-type headaches being the most common. Today, I am joined on the phone by Dr. Koh Kim Hui, Clinical Lead for Musculoskeletal Workgroup Sing Health Polyclinics. We're talking headaches. Doctor, welcome back to the show.
Hello. Hi. Good afternoon, Clarissa.
It's a pleasure to talk to you again. Happy New Year. Never too late to say that since we're still in the first few weeks of January. Now, headaches are very common. I think all adult Singaporeans suffer headaches every once in a while. But this becomes interesting to me. The lifetime prevalence of headaches in Singapore has been reported to be about 82%. Tension headaches being the most common, according to this local study. Is this high?
Well, when we say a lifetime prevalence of 82%, that means that up to about 82% of the general population in Singapore, well, will suffer headaches at some point of their life. Right. I would say, well, this figure is considered high. This is unsurprising, well, given that headaches can be due to so many causes. And it is a common condition that's experienced among our general population.
Okay, so here in Singapore specifically, since this is great, it is a local study, why are we getting headaches so frequently in Singapore?
Okay, to be fair, I think while headache is a very common problem, but the prevalence of headaches in Singapore is actually comparable to many other developed countries. No, in fact, based on global studies, places like Europe, Australia, US, they actually do have a higher prevalence of headache than in Singapore. I mean, we are a fast-paced, high-pressure society. So we are at risk of conditions that are related to stress, such as tension headaches.
So basically what you're saying, it's consistent with other urban cities?
Certainly.
All right, okay. Has the working from home and COVID-19 been affected, or has that caused a rise in these numbers, do you think?
Okay, to be fair, I think overall, at least at Sing Health Polyclinics, we have not seen a significant rise in the number of patients consulting for headaches, especially during the COVID period. Well, of course, it maybe could be attributed to the overall reduction in attendance.
Right.
Because most patients may want to self-medicate at home, or so on.
Well, a lot of us do, and maybe you can dispel this fear. A lot of us fear, unless we're really sick, we're not going to go to the doctor because you never know what you could pick up there. And all of us don't want to get COVID.
Possible.
But is that a unfair concern? Should that not be a factor if we want to see a doctor?
No, I think if patient or person is still unwell, require medical treatment, as especially now that it's in phase 3, I mean, do see a doctor to seek medical attention where required. Yeah, of course, with adequate social distancing.
All right, okay. Now let's talk about practical things. First of all, there are, and we said this right from the start, there are so many different reasons why a person can have a headache. Can you talk about some of the more common ones and before we talk about how we can alleviate these headaches?
I think, how practical stuff. If you are able to identify the usual triggers for your headache, for example, your migraine, technically, you can avoid that trigger, would be an effective way to avoid the headache. But however, in real life, I think it is actually not easy sometimes to identify the triggers, because there are many, and there's also many triggers, like for example, work stress cannot be totally avoided. So when you ask for practical things to reduce the pain, I think simple advice include things like massaging the affected area, for example, the forehead, applying cold packs to your forehead, your neck, resting in a quiet environment, avoiding excessive movement activities, and sometimes just taking simple over-the-counter analgesia like paracetamol when required. And I think these are very simple, practical tips that you can help, you know, for the majority of headaches. Things like stress, tension management, you know, relaxation therapy, meditation, and even simple advice like, you know, don't bottle up your emotions. All this will help to reduce the frequency of headaches. I generally tell my patient, you know, as long as you generally have a healthy lifestyle, your regular exercises, balanced meals, adequate sleep, I think all this will be useful to prevent headaches occurrence.
Okay, now, this has made me curious. Like with almost any medical condition, there is an age group concentration. You know, from this age to this age, you're more likely to get it. So is headache the same way? Is there an age concentration?
Age, okay. So generally, of course, the very young, like children, they don't usually complain of headaches. Generally, among all the more common causes like migraine and tension-type headache, they tend to peak around the age 30 to 40.
Right.
Beyond which, of course, once you go into the older age group, the prevalence of headache tend to drop. Which is why, actually, if you have a new onset of headache in your middle age onwards, that's actually a red flag. And sometimes it's better to seek medical attention.
Oh, I did not know that. So if, say, example, you're a 50-year-old and you have frequent headaches, then it's definitely time to see a doctor because it might mean something else? Maybe.
Yes, especially new onset. No, you usually don't have headache when you're young.
Right.
And now suddenly, at age 50, you know, you suddenly have this bad headache. I think it's a cause of concern to seek attention for.
So it's worth going and seeing a doctor for a checkup, just in case. Yes. You never know. Yes. It could be cholesterol. It could be hypertension, stuff like that, right?
Potentially. I mean, many causes of headache at the age group, yeah.
Many causes? Oh, you're not giving me a lot.
Because you asked me about
because it's my age group, you know.
Because they don't, for the two examples you gave, they don't usually cause headache. Oh. I mean, we are more worried about things, for example, stroke. Yeah.
I see. Okay. So the advice from the doctor is, if you suddenly get headaches in your 50s when you didn't when you were younger, go see a doctor. Correct?
Yes.
All right. We're speaking with Dr. Koh Kim Hui, clinical lead for Musculoskeletal Workgroup, Sing Health Polyclinics. Now, this one surprised me. Maybe it shouldn't have, but it did. Women generally have a higher prevalence of headaches than men. Why is that?
Okay. I think women are known to have a higher prevalence of headaches, and I think this is quite consistent across many studies globally. One of the postulations for this is actually due to hormonal fluctuation, in particular estrogen in women, that occurs during your monthly menstrual cycle.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if there is a consistency with the monthly menstrual cycle, does that mean that at certain part of the month, the woman would have a higher likelihood of having headaches?
I mean, not always. Some women, of course, will have the worsening headache that's related to the menstrual cycle.
Right.
But I think just because of the fluctuation in the hormones, I think that it's a postulation why overall prevalence of headache is higher in women.
Right. Okay. So lucky us.
Or lucky me.
Or lucky you. Oh, doctor.
Okay.
We all reach for, the paracetamol, the over-the-counter remedies to deal with headaches without thinking too much about it. Should we be instead going to a doctor to have a check to see why we're getting these headaches, especially if they're frequent? So could they be symptoms of something more serious?
Well, okay, yes. So I think it's acceptable to try simple over-the-counter paracetamol. But if the headache is persistent, or is progressively worsening, I think it's probably prudence to also seek medical attention rather than just take your over-the-counter medication, because most benign headaches are actually self-limiting and improve with time. So if you get worsening, I think that is a red flag to seek medical attention for. Yeah. But if the headache is accompanied by symptoms such as, for example, fever or confusion, I think sometimes that points towards a possible infection of the brain. Headaches that are accompanied by, for example, weakness or numbness in limbs, I think we're worried about things like stroke and mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Some patients, if they complain of this worst headache of their life, I think sometimes we are concerned about this a form of stroke called a subarachnoid bleed, which is quite a serious condition. And as mentioned earlier, after age 50 or so, if you have a new onset headache, that is a red flag.
Is there a time frame after which it really becomes necessary for you to see a doctor? Maybe 1-2 days, a week, whatever, where after that, if you're still experiencing the headaches despite the paracetamol, you absolutely should go to a doctor?
Yes, especially if it's persistent and especially if it's worsening, even despite the medication. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Should we avoid excessive caffeine consumption, and what is actually excessive?
Okay. Well, I would say if you're probably drinking excessive caffeine, if the intake has resulted in symptoms such as palpitations, stomach irritation, headache, insomnia, or irritability. Generally, the recommended amount of caffeine is about up to 400 mg a day for healthy adults. That's roughly equivalent to about 2 to 4 cups of caffeinated coffee a day, because a cup of coffee generally gives you about 50 to 200 mg of caffeine. And so I usually suggest my patient to just limit to 2 cups of coffee a day. Yeah. But I think one point to note, especially in Singapore, we know that other than coffee and tea, actually many beverages, energy drinks, all this, all contain caffeine. And all this will collectively add up your caffeine intake a day.
So we have coffee, we've got tea, we've got energy drinks. Even green tea has got caffeine in it. How do we monitor then how much caffeine we're taking? Because we don't actually know how much caffeine is in all these things, especially if it doesn't come in a can.
So sometimes it's difficult. That's why. Which is why I say, a lot of us drink coffee in Singapore. So try to limit the amount of coffee you take to, for example, 2 cups. Then that's probably still give you a bit of buffer.
You get buffer.
I think, but generally we know that it's not just the caffeine that sometimes affect us. We will try to avoid sweet beverages because they contain sugar and many other stuff that's unhealthy in general. Yeah. So sometimes monitoring of symptoms is useful. If you can't sleep, you have insomnia, and caffeine is sometimes one of the cause, excessive caffeine.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
Now, we are an aging population, so that we always have to bring our elderly into the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Would, you're saying that 30 to 40 is pretty much when that's the highest prevalence of headaches, then it sort of tapers off. What about the elderly? Do they have headaches?
They can.
They can.
Right. Yeah.
And would the treatment for elderly, if they did have headaches, is it any different?
Okay. I would say there's maybe 3 challenges in the treatment of headaches elderly.
Mm-hmm.
One, as mentioned earlier, is a diagnostic challenge, because the risk of serious causes like stroke, for example, is high in elderly, especially when we talk about new onset headaches. Yeah, but the other challenges are, for example, elderly are actually at higher risk of adverse effects to medications.
Right.
And thirdly, sometimes the older person may also have a lot of a potential concurrent medical condition or comorbidities that sometimes cause other symptoms apart from headache, as well as affect the treatment of headache. Because of the old condition, it can don't allow us to give certain medications. Yeah. So generally for elderly, if we do give medication for headache, we tend to use a reduced dose. And start low, go slow, something they call it. Yeah.
Okay, which leads me to an interesting question. Having been the primary caregiver of an elderly person for years, with all the different, and you're right, as you get older, you have other medical conditions, and they are on medication for those other medical conditions. If they start developing headaches, self-medication may not be such a wise idea, simply because you don't know how they're going to contraindicate with all the existing medications. Is that correct?
Yes.
So would your advice be, if it's elderly and if it's a headache and they are on other medications, definitely see a doctor before and not maybe self-medicate so much?
Yes, because there are different kind of painkillers that can interact with many medications.
Right.
So it have been given by your doctor before. Of course, you can check with the doctor first, whether this medicine will interact with all your other medication before you even consider taking it. Yeah, that's very important.
Okay, so it is a little bit, it takes a little bit more thought if you're dealing with headaches in the elderly.
Certainly.
All right, okay. We've been speaking with Dr. Koh Kim Hui, Clinical Lead for Musculoskeletal Workgroup, SingHealth Polyclinics. Doctor, thank you very much for the time and valuable information as well.
No problem. Thank you.
I'm Clarissa Montero for the Workday Afternoon. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.